You just need that filter that turns you into like a potato or something.
Right?
Like a hot dog.
Oh. Yeah, no.
Cat's gonna settle
Velociraptor,
in.
I don't know.
That'd be kind of
mushroom headed guy.
Yeah. I'm gonna have some trail mix, sorry.
Okay.
Crinkle, 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 crunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great for the audio recording.
It really is. Perfect.
Hello, and welcome back to RTFB. This is Travis, and today Chris, other Chris, and I are talking about the second half of our book, The Postman. So if you're reading along to avoid spoilers, and you didn't read the whole book, then you didn't read enough yet. Keep going until there's no more book left. That's how you'll know. Also, business time, so bear with me for like 45 seconds. First, your passphrase for this season is survivalist. Who can say if or when it'll ever be useful for you, but write it down in case we do a giveaway or something in the future. Again, the passphrase is survivalist. Second, this week's bookstore buddy is Left Bank Books in St. Louis, specifically off of Euclid down in Forest Park, a place I always try to visit whenever I'm in town. It's a cool indie shop in a cool part of town. They've got a good selection of new and used books, and the quintessential bookstore cat napping amongst the stacks, who wanted absolutely nothing to do with me when I offered headpats, but that just proves that they have good taste. Anyway, if you're in town, check them out, and then go to Fitz's, and or Ted Drew's since you're over that way anyway. Okay, business is done. Now to my conversation with the Chris's already in progress.
My friend told me one time that, the Olympics, they got like real time Foley people,
yeah,
you know, like yeah, making the whoosh sounds while they're skiing and shit,
like, yeah, like when you shoot an arrow, somebody's like
whoosh, wash, yeah.
See, like, and all this time, yeah, I thought they just had good camera, they had good microphones.
No, there's a dude somewhere in a little building, like making little whoosh sound effects,
yeah, the like opposite, it. They have bad microphones,
yeah.
Did they have to do that for the track events too? Someone like with like coconuts?
Oh.
That would be pretty great. But I guess they've like done it without it before, and people are like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on? Like, why is it so quiet?
Is my TV broken?
Yeah. Like, yeah. What is this?
Yeah. Hmm. What is that?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm noticing this new MacBook Air doesn't say MacBook Air on it.
Oh.
Anywhere.
Does it say like MacBook Air or something? Like,
no, it doesn't say anything.
Okay. It's all right.
I guess they decided there wasn't enough room in the bezel on the bottom, which is fine. Yeah. It's got an Apple on the back of it, so we know whose it is.
I want one that has
That's the important thing.
A pair on the back.
You gotta let everyone know.
Well, mine's kind of obscured by a clear hard shell case.
Oh.
So.
Nice.
Because it's blue. I got the blue one, like the midnight blue colored MacBook Air, so.
Okay.
I wanted just to be able to see that, but I like putting on the hard shell cases. I had that on my old MacBook Air.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about it, like, getting jostled around and shit.
Yeah.
Or scratched or anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
I liked it when
just set it up yesterday so I could use it for my test.
Yeah. I liked it when the laptops would waste battery to, like, light up the Apple logo, too, so, like, everyone could tell.
It didn't, though. Like, I liked that feature. That was, like, the least worrisome feature at all. But, I mean, my MacBook, like I said, was just old.
Yeah.
Like, this is a really big upgrade for me, comparatively speaking, because it's the one that just came out, so it's the M3 chip.
Oh.
And I got the one with the high amount of RAM and other shit, so I could, like, do things more easily with it, like, hopefully record. And process some things and whatnot. So
actually, more powerful than an iPhone, or the Air still like tethered to that.
It's actually like the way they put them together. It's actually powerful enough it can play like basic games and shit.
Oh my god.
Like you can kind of game on a MacBook Air now.
What?
That's a big step.
So. That shit's crazy.
If anyone actually made games for them.
Right.
Well, it's got stuff in the store that's maybe an option. Yeah, no one's making a game just for this, but it's like you can play some games.
Yeah.
But apparently I can get like apps on here too.
Oh.
Because of all that shit. Like I said, I haven't had this feature. I was still rocking the old, like one of the last Intel chip ones they made. So.
Yeah.
And I got like a Touch ID to sign in, and like, it's really kind
of
fun.
There's a handful of Steam games that you can play on Mac. I've got some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not nearly all of them, but you know. Some of them.
Well, I mean, I didn't get this to game on anyway, so.
You can play Undertale on there.
Probably.
Except my version doesn't
play Undertale.
Doesn't have an option to resize the resolution. Mm-hmm. So it's either full screen or it is this big.
That's hard mode.
It's hard to dodge shit when it's that big, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was pleased too, like, because I've never gotten another Mac computer.
Yeah.
Till now. So, like, when I was setting up, it's like, hey. Do you want to transfer your shit from your old one?
Yeah.
I'm like, sure. Is this going to take a long time? Nah, an hour.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm like, wow. It's like, here, I'm going to transfer like 80 gigs worth of data from your old MacBook Air that you connected to me with a cable to this new one.
Wow.
No problem. I'm like, Jesus, really? That's awesome.
Yeah. I liked when I got the, because I have the Mac Minis, that they basically can be converted into like a server afterward. So I didn't have to transfer shit. I can just connect right to it.
Exactly.
Just stacked it on top of the other one.
It's like sometimes Apple, you do right. Sometimes you make it right.
Yeah.
And I like the new cable because it's cloth covered, the power cable.
Oh.
But I waited long enough. Thank God they brought back the MagSafe charging with like the last model because I had that on my 2015.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then they got rid of it. I'm like, why the fuck would you get rid of that? Sorry. because this is awesome. Like, it just magnet connects. Ever. We don't say it at all.
Ever.
Ever. And then it, like, charges and shit, and it's like, your cat runs across your cord, you're fine. Like, they went to, like, oh, we're going to have you click in a USB-C cord and charge with that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
no. Thanks,
but they brought it back, so I'm happy. And I was happy it had a headphone jack, too. I wasn't expecting that.
That's a bonus.
I've got that on one side, and I've got two USB-C cords, though.
Yeah,
which is fine, but that's why I got the dongle thing.
Plus, you get to say dongle.
Nice. Yeah, you get to say dongle. But I researched it. Like I said, I can plug this into like a TV. But I wanted to make sure I could still do like SD card reading and like plug my microphone in and all that. So that's why I got this one.
I have to have a dongle for SD cards, but it's okay.
I didn't on the other one, but you know. There's a difference between 2015 and now, so.
I rarely have to use an SD card anymore anyway, so.
Well, I take lots of pictures on my phone. Oh, I still have one. Well, I did have one in there that I could use. Now I can't.
Mr. Artist over
here. I can download it. I can download all that old shit from, like, two SD card, micro SD cards I have.
And then,
I can put in my camera's SD card, too. So it'll be. It's one of the main reasons I want to make sure, because I have a lot of pictures on there, and now I can probably actually edit them.
Yeah.
So instead of like having my computer to like, I can't do this one at a time, please. Now I'm supposed to be able to like kind of handle them. So
one picture at a time, please. Yeah,
one. Just one. Look at this. Like, look at you, Mr. Fancy, using RAW file. One.
Yeah.
One at a time. So Apple. I never did much with all the pictures I've taken. So I've got like my Israel trip on there and a couple others that I took my camera along for. I'm like, I never did anything with. Now I can.
Nice. Put them on your Flickr account or whatever.
Yeah. My thing is, I'm going to make them fancy and then print them in a book.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
One of those photo books printed, so.
Yeah, you know. Those are fun.
Yeah.
I like those.
And I look at my pictures. Like, I don't ever look at them as digital. I just have, like, a shit ton of digital pictures.
Yeah.
Like, so I never look at them.
That's all people.
Yeah.
Like,
but I miss the days.
That's literally how pictures work.
Yeah,
no, but it shouldn't.
You take
like,
them and never look at them again, right?
But we should take good ones. Like I try to do when I'm in town and stuff that I can then like print out and put in a frame and have around my house and like make me smile. You know, like in the old days.
That, you just I think like, Sharon they would go to the shoebox under the bed.
Well, yeah, that
of
too.
The internet.
That well, how about a literal one? Hey,
that's like what the cloud is.
Yeah,
the knock it off, kitties.
Under the bed.
Yeah, but what happens when the server on the cloud fails? Like,
yeah.
Or your formats change.
Honestly, like, you're not going to miss them.
Like I'm one.
You'd be like, oh, I lost all of my photos in the fire that burned down my house, and it turns out none of them were any good anyway. So.
But like, I figure I'm like one tech generation away from not being able to get the photos off of those micro USB, like micro SD cards.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be like the last. No. I get my first one of those 2010 or 14.
No, you gotta put them on Insta. Think of all the likes you could get. Mm. You could cash them in for prizes or something.
Yeah, for internet points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stopped caring about that on Insta a long time ago. But
yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like if there aren't boobs or butts, then,
yeah,
like, good luck getting anything.
Well, I did that more back when I gave my boobs and butts on Tumblr. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They changed that, but then they kind of secretly changed back, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Boobs and butts.
I post stuff on Insta sometimes, but mostly to be like, look, I do things. Yeah. I'm not just sitting here. I want a place to take this picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To prove to people that I do stuff sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't even a thing that I wanted to do.
I was just there.
Yeah.
And here it is. Yeah. Exactly.
If I had to be there, I guess I was taking a picture.
Right.
Yeah. I like it to be of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not of boobs and butts, but only because I don't really have access.
That's why no one follows our accounts. But, yeah.
Right.
I start using this Adobe Firefly to put more boobs and butts in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Attach boobs to this picture.
Yeah. Like that's what generative AI is really for.
Right.
Replace this background with like some breasts.
Yeah. Please, sir.
Please.
But make it subliminal so people don't know why they like this photo so much. Just try to hide it in there.
Yeah.
So that no one can tell.
Yeah. No, right. Apparently the thing to do for people like us on like TikTok is to record these videos where we're all sitting on a table with our microphones and being just so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And put that up on the TikTok.
Ticky-tacks.
Yeah. It helps. You gotta have the one guy with the backward hat, and then some other guy who's real dumb, and then optionally a lady. Uh-huh. And you have to be like, not to sound stupid or anything, but is the Boston Marathon farther than other marathons? That's the kind of thing you gotta post.
It depends on how far you are from Boston, I guess.
Right.
He's like, no, all marathons are the same distance. That's the TikTok clip, at least. Anyway, that's why we're not on TikTok so much.
Yeah. No, we wouldn't be popular on the banned social media platform anyway.
I made a couple.
That? Isn't that like? I mean, like, why am they I signed still the able law? To go look at like
because
TikTok
they have
still.
6 months to sell themselves,
right?
But they've also launched a lawsuit.
Yeah.
In court to say you can't do that to us.
Right.
So it's going to be longer than 6 months, unfortunately. I'm hoping that when they go, hey, can you stop this, judges? They'll be like, no. So the next year, like 2 months into school, none of my kids can look at TikTok anymore. That'd be fantastic.
Chris wants government action to make his class easier.
TikTok, which is what I'm creating.
As long as it's not Chinese, that's all that matters at this point.
Yeah. So. Just bring back Vine.
TikTok.
They might.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, just... Mark Zuckerberg's going, yes, please close them down, because I have features I'm ready to open up on Instagram, and that'll take over the spot for people.
Right.
So,
oh, man.
I just hope whoever shuts them down, whenever they bring them back up, they institute landscape. I'm so sick of seeing clips of, like, movies and shows where, like, half of the people, it's, like, their shoulder, because they didn't bother to recenter the thing. Like, I love watching people's shoulder in these clips.
Yeah.
No, I don't like it
either. Like, there should be a pan and scan filter.
Yes. Yes. Or just some minor editing to just reframe it. I don't know.
Or
the most minor of editing. I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, Apple should be sponsoring us.
Yes. Because of
with
dongles.
All of our, dongle content.
Dongles. Oh my god.
Well,
what are you doing to that cat?
Try to pick her up.
She says no.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, she was trying to climb up on me.
Oh, other cat. Gypsy. Hey, Gypsy.
More different her cat.
Cat, look at me. Cat, look at me. I'm going to blink at you. I'm going to blink at you.
She's having vision problems, so she can't really see that.
Poor baby.
She can see a little bit.
Yeah.
But we think it's probably more like shapes.
Yeah.
And like things like that.
Yeah.
And like bright and dark.
Right.
So. And it's different depending on the time of day. It's worse at night for her.
Right.
With the artificial light than it is like in the daytime.
Oh.
So, but it's she still bumps into shit.
Yeah.
You know, can't climb up on things.
Oh, baby.
Right now she's trying to figure out this desk. Like, how am I up here? But what's in my way? I don't know what's
happening. What can I step on up here?
Yeah.
No.
What can I step on? Way.
Yeah.
No.
She's doing it.
No. No. All right. I'm going to put you back on the floor.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, all the cats are in here now. So.
It's because the door is ajar. It's ajar.
It is, but it has a hook thing, so they can come in. This is their room. This is where they also
come in. Oh, you're invading their territory. So,
it's storage, and it was always supposed to like get changed into kind of like a office-y space.
Yeah.
But we didn't do that yet. So.
It's in the process.
Yeah. It's a multi-purpose room right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out a new place for them to...
It's a slash
room. They'll be able to hang out in here but do other shit, so...
Yeah. Nice.
But, yeah, Gypsy's like, you're never in here. Like, well, I know. There was no place to sit or do anything before, so...
Yeah. Alas.
Yeah.
Alas. Hey.
Ah.
Did you read this book?
Yeah. I did. What? Wait, what?
No.
Hang on.
Did you read some of this book?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not since last time.
Oh, boy.
Not since last time.
We're about to spoil the show.
I listened to somebody's reviews, so I kind of don't have an idea of what's going on. But
oh, man.
I don't have time for that, so.
Oh, God. You made a terrible commitment then.
Yeah. We kind of need to, like, get going with it for this, so I can't keep going. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm not going to be able to read it, but.
Yeah.
We'll still do it anyways.
Yeah, fuck it.
So things happen. I brought my copy, so
what do you think happened?
What do I think happened?
Make up a second half of this book.
I think, in the end, he successfully helps restart America through his actions. I don't know if he's alive or dead, but things happen, people do things and groups and change, and
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. Nope.
In the apocalypse.
In the end, simping saved America.
People stop the bad guys, the ones who are trying to, like, keep shit down.
Mm-hmm.
The mail gets delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone rejoices.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Maybe I'm too deep into this whiskey, but, like, was him delivering the mail, like, was that a play on words?
Oh,
it came down to be like, mails fucking suck.
Oh, I thought that postman.
Oh, shit.
Was a play on words.
Oh, shit.
That, like, we're talking about the end of.
End of men.
Man.
Yeah.
It's a postman. He's a postman.
He is the postman.
He's the postman.
Oh, Jesus.
That's not what I get from the picture.
No, but put a hyphen in there.
Yeah.
No, he's literally just a fucking mailman.
You gotta read below the text, Chris. The subtext is there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Holy shit. My mind is blown. My mind is blown.
Yeah.
I think you might be 100% right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of all his talk about feminism and, like, women shaping the future and being the impetus for people to do shit.
Yeah. And how like, they talked about, like, augmented dudes, but even that was, like, those guys are, you know, going the way of the dodo, right? Like, you had their sort of last, like, hurrah, and then...
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the whole second half of the book really was about this, like, women should probably, like, take more responsibility in keeping men in line.
Right.
Or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah.
That could make sense in a society where a lot of men can't.
The augmented men were like, let's take men to their absolute, like, ridiculous extreme.
Yeah.
And fight at wars.
P90X.
And they're like, well, now what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess we're going to fucking destroy society. I don't know. Like,
yeah. And so, yeah, like, I do generally get that like the civilization that rises from the ashes is going to be like women taking charge, I guess. Like that seems to be the idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So yeah, post man.
Oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Holy shit. All right, shut down. What else can we add to this?
Like, that was it.
I don't know.
So, what else you guys up to these days?
No, I'll ask other Chris, what'd you think of the second half as far as like reading through it?
I enjoyed it. It moved quickly. Like lots of stuff happened. Like it was snappy. It was like, it was exciting. And, I don't know. People fought, people died. Like a bunch of crazy shit went on. Like the first half was sort of like a, you know, like, I don't want to say like lackadaisical, you know, but it was like, it took its time getting to where it was going. And then the second half was like, I don't know, like kind of frenetic, like thing after thing happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, I noticed the second half moved really quick, too. Like, it seemed somehow shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was almost exactly the same amount of pages, but I'm like, I guess it was because, like, they're just going from set piece to set piece.
Yep.
Like, we've established everybody, like, you know what's going on, mm-hmm. and now some shit's gonna go down, and we have to, like, so things have to come to a head.
The first half really felt like, you know, a travelogue and like going to all these different places and like meeting all these people and like,
right.
Oh, this town is slightly different than this town. And this guy like did this thing and, you know, we're establishing sort of the world, I guess, in the first half. And in the second half, it's like, now we actually have like a real threat.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the invasion from the south.
Right. Right.
And, like, what are these, like, all of these towns that we've gone through, like, all of these people that we've met, like, how are they going to deal with this?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it, basically, the first half was setting up all of the dominoes, and the second half is, like, knocking them down.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that. Either I was like, I assumed I'm like, I'm just too bored of writing down town names, but I feel like you said, the first one's like, okay, now he's in Pine Ridge. Mm-hmm. Now he's in the Willamette Valley, and now he's over here. And this time it was like, well, one, he was knocked out for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Or basically dead. So he didn't really have time to be like, okay, and then I went to, I don't know, Portland and Eugene. But yeah, they cared a little less about setting up his little mail route and more about... Mm-hmm. getting shit done.
Yeah.
So yeah, I liked it.
Cool.
So Chris, Julio. which reviews did you read? Like, can you recommend one to us?
Yeah, I watched one YouTube video.
Bunch of YouTube videos.
Yeah, about just one.
Yeah.
About this, from this guy who was doing this program where you read through a whole bunch of like older and like classic sci-fis. This was like number 37 for him, but he really liked it because it was different from what he'd been reading. He really thought the he also said the writing was really good, and it's it's paced well and all that kind of stuff, and he said it's a good entry point for people who may or may not have any experience with apocalypse fiction. So he really liked it.
I think that's true too. I think this was kind of one of this section at least was more like the impression I got from Kindred, where it's like he's very economical. Mm-hmm. And everything that's happening has like two or three things you can dig into and be like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to walk you through every single thing that happened, but you can.
Well, I think like David Brin, that's the guy.
Yes.
Has a good understanding of people and their personalities and their motivations. And like he writes convincing characters. And I think that's definitely something that he has in common with the best of the science fiction writers, that it is like what would a person in this situation be thinking, and how would they be behaving, and why?
Right.
And like, so believable characters.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And it felt like kind of the theme in the first section was Gordon being like, well, someone's got to fucking do something. Like, someone's got to take responsibility. Yep. And although that still plagued him in this, it was more like his contribution was, let's get somebody better than me in here and, like, let me warn people about what's going on. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, in my notes, I constantly was writing, like, and then Gordon shouted, it's a trap. Look out. He was basically Fallout Boy in this. Like, watch out, radioactive man. So, yeah. But you're right. I think, despite there being a lot of characters, they didn't spend a whole lot of time, like, painstakingly detailing out. Like, I got the impression of pretty much everybody. Like, okay, Powhatan's like this, and Johnny's like this. Like, he's the guy who's literally going to die for the cause.
Yeah, and then Phil he did.
Like, and then he literally did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And Dina's like that. Like, she will hold her bastard kid face down in a tub until he drowns, because she doesn't... She thinks he's one of the bastards or whatever, so. But yeah, I thought it was really good. And I was like, shit, I'm ready for the second one. But no.
Cool.
Right. I want to know what's happening in California.
Man. Right?
Yeah. Like, didn't they do that with the Fallout series? They had New Vegas, and then there was, like, California was one of them.
The New California Republic? Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see that.
They really kind of revived shit, and then they got blown up.
Oh, yeah. Well. If anyone's going to do it. Yeah. Anyway. So, Chris, should we tell you what happened in here?
I mean, you can. If you want to for the reader, for the listener. But.
Oh, shit. I was going to also mention that it took me like half of this section, because like the whole section was Cincinnatus, to remember, like, that's an actual guy.
Yeah.
And that might have implications to the story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they, you know, he helpfully pointed it out to you later
on. Later so on. Was, yes.
Yeah. That's good.
I had remembered to look it up before that. So give me half credit, but.
Cincinnati's named after him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask, and jumping ahead in the notes, but like the Order of Cincinnatus, was that a real thing?
As far as I know, it was.
Or was that just made up by Nathan Holm?
I'm just going to have to take his word
for it. There was like a group, some of the founding fathers like did something.
Yeah.
But it you look. Know.
I'm checking.
Society of
Cincinnati?
There was something, because they were the ones that named Cincinnati that. Members
of Cincinnati are male descendants of Revolutionary War officers.
Okay, there we go.
Order of Cincinnatus may refer to Society of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
An organization in the U.S. and France founded in 1783 to preserve the ideals and fellowship of the Revolutionary War officers who fought for American independence.
There you go.
So at least it's got a Wikipedia entry.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That, it's definitely real then.
Definitely real.
Yeah, that sounds like a thing.
Just like Aaron Burr was a real guy. So Nathan Holm.
He was.
Totally on the money.
Yeah, he's lovely. I clicked on the Society of Cincinnati. To get like a lovely picture.
There he
is. Know,
there's your man.
I mean, like any like these days though, like Nathan Holm would be shilling like supplements.
Oh my god, pills. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be the guy shilling supplements I see on YouTube.
Or he'd be under arrest
saying,
for
buy some gold
sex trafficking in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
People would be asking where he was on January 6th.
Andrew Tate is Nathan Holm.
Jesus Christ.
Basically. But yeah,
like one more instance of like science fiction being like stupidly prescient.
Yeah. Except instead of like one guy who spawned like shit, it's like 20 dudes.
Yeah. Like,
they even talked about the big lie. I was like, God damn it.
Oh no.
Yeah. Anyway.
What if David Brin is actually from the future?
Maybe he is.
And traveled back in time like 50 years and started writing books.
That's some ancient aliens shit. Like, give the dude credit for being able to see the future.
Yeah, like, no, I totally do. To like, he's very... Even in the early parts of the book when I was reading that, I'm like, this sounds familiar. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah. That's a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. Good on you, David Grimm.
Good on you. So Cincinnatus, I guess, is the theme. And Cincinnatus being the guy who's like, I'm a farmer. And they're like, shit, we're dying. Please come be a general. He's like, I guess. Yeah. Like, great, we won. Be a king. He's like, fuck your kingdom. I'm going back to being a farmer.
Yeah. He was the best dictator Rome had because he gave up his powers voluntarily at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
To go back to farm on his large estate with slaves.
He was like he was like Batman in The Dark Knight Returns. He's like, I'm going to use this terrible power just for this, and then blow it up. Back to my farm.
Yep. He was. So, and he's the guy that then like Caesar and Scipio quoted in their shit, but then you know, we all know what happened there. So
no, we don't. Don't Caesar assume we not. All know this.
You don't know what happened. Caesar did not give up his power at the end of his dictatorship.
I know about Caesar. Who's the other guy? Scipio?
Scipio?
Skippy?
Skippy?
No.
Scipio from anime.
Scipio Pipio?
Scipio Africanus. Not that Scipio.
Doppelpopulus?
Doppelpopulus?
No.
No.
Who's the younger? Scipio Africanus the younger.
Scipio the younger.
No, well, maybe not Scipio, but well, so that guy was involved with the Punic Wars.
The peanut butter guy?
Hence Africanus, because he won the Punic Wars against Carthage in Africa.
George Washington Carver won the Punic Wars, got it.
That's how you become African, I guess.
Well, wow. Rome, no, it's your title is based on who you defeat. So that's why there's a Claudius the II Gothicus in the third century, because he defeated the Goths.
Oh.
And then Trajan, who I just got his coin a couple of weeks ago, had like the longest terms, because he's like Germanicus, Dacius, something else, because he defeated like three groups of people.
He killed everybody.
Wow.
No, he just defeated them and brought them into, said either stop fucking with my borders or welcome to Rome after I killed your army.
Okay.
But that's how their titles, like stuff like that, place names went, is who did you beat?
Who did you beat?
So,
so my name would be Travis, my penis row.
Yes, but put constantly. It into Latin. So,
yeah. Let's find out. How do you say meat in Latin?
Oh, we're gonna find out. Latin.
Carne. Let's see. Carnicus.
Carnicus.
Decimus Carnicus Aurelius.
So my penis in Latin phallus. Is meant. Mentula mea.
Mentula. Travis Mentula. I like it.
And meat, because I can't remember. No, I don't think that's it. Wikipedia. Escom? I don't think so.
No. That's even stupid to suggest.
Ugh.
Yeah. So we don't know what meat is.
I bet it has something to do with carne.
Yeah.
Probably.
Let's find out what the greater web says. I feel like I learned this in Latin class, but I don't remember.
It seems like something that would be appropriate to learn in Latin class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Latin words for meat include caro, carnis, ligurio, and epularum.
Ooh, carnis.
So, minced meat was tritum quibum. Lean meat was iniatator quibum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Raw meat was crudam.
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 And a piece of meat was fragment kibum.
Mm-hmm.
Ground meat, according to this, was kibum teram. Roast meat was coquam kibum.
Kibum.
Fresh meat, nova kibum.
Nova.
Cold meat, frigus kibum. Red meat, rufus kibum.
Rufus.
Interesting.
Yep. And a meat pie is pie kibum, because there's no Latin word for pie.
Of course. I just want to throw out there that the Japanese word kibun means feeling.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know,
feeling your meat.
Yeah, feeling your meat.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think I learned.
I'll remember it forever now.
Carnes, but carnes means steak, flesh, or pulp.
Mm.
So steak or flesh. But I learned carnes.
Carnes
in Latin. I did not learn kibum.
Goddamn carnes.
Carnies.
Carnies.
Hence small carne.
Hands. Small hands. Smells
cat. Sit, hence that carne asada.
Right?
Because it'd probably be carnes asadum or something like that. And
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, other Chris, let's teach Chris what happened in this book. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do that.
So, like, where were we, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Gordon was shit.
In the middle.
Yeah. Gotta go back to Corvallis or whatever and deal with these survivalist motherfuckers. It's like, somebody's gotta do it. It's not gonna be them.
It'll be him.
They're just gonna play Space Invaders, so I gotta do something.
Yep.
So, we open up on an interlude of spring returning.
Mm-hmm.
The ocean offering just enough heat to stop a slow death spiral. But obstinate winter arrived one more time to claim a dark country.
Ooh.
Ominous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, re-enter Gordon, who is coming upon a still warm body of Tracy. I'm like, my theme for this whole second half was like, did we meet this person yet? I don't remember. Like,
no, there was a cutaway.
Yeah.
There were a few months that passed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like between part one and part two, there were, you know, like there was time for him to like be raising an army and like going between places and having to deal with politics and
an army of farmers, by the way, basically.
A militia of sorts,
a sort of militia.
So
Tracy shows up dead. We just met her and she's already dead. I guess she was one of Dina's Amazons. And then
one of the scouts.
Philip Bokuto joins him. He's like, damn, I thought Tracy was a good one. Dina always said so. And he's just like, yeah, but Dina's crazy. That was the other theme of this section. Dina's crazy.
People be cray.
Yeah. Women, like, in particular.
Yeah.
Women who get ideas by reading books.
Yeah.
Women. Can't have that.
Yeah.
Thinking.
Yeah.
So they're like, these holiness can't be too far. They didn't have time to take their usual trophies and like cut off her ears and shit.
Yeah.
So we can still get them. And Gordon's like, nah, maybe not. I'm not so keen to track these fuckers with farmers that we've got waiting back in the woods.
Yeah.
So there's some knife brandishing threats between the two of them. And Philip's like, just give me 5 minutes. Drabs her corpse away.
And you're like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yikes.
What's he going to, oh my God.
Yeah. So Gordon goes back to his farmer soldiers on patrol, waits for 5 minutes using his pre-war timepiece. Given to him by the tech jockeys in the House of Cyclops.
Yeah.
He's like, ah.
Not smuggled in somebody's ass.
Not that we know of.
Yeah.
Probably, it could still be. That could be your headcanon.
Unspecified.
There you go.
He's like, here's my army of the Willamette. Ugh. It's like, well, guys, Tracy's dead. 5 minutes faster on your patrolling and she wouldn't have wound up so horribly mutilated. Guys,
well,
let her down. Yeah, and he's actively like timing everyone's decision making process about hearing this news before they're like, well, we should go do something. He's like, too slow, guys.
Yeah.
Good thing they didn't find you.
Yeah.
So Philip silently slips back in with the angered group who are about to find a very mutilated corpse. And he's like, can you imagine if they ever found out why we use Lady Scouts?
Like,
lies within lies for the restored United States. And I imagine it's the same reason they have lady voices on your cockpit computer. Ladies make you do stuff.
Yeah. They're very good at it.
They're motivating is all.
Yeah.
So then Gordon's discussing the situation with a silent Cyclops. I like that he thought of themselves as the twin pillars of fraud holding up hope in the Willamette Valley. It's like, Cyclops, we are screwed. Like, we're hanging on now just because of the winter, but once things start thawing, like, those camoed fucks are gonna kill us.
Yeah.
So, Dina interrupts his lamentations to tell him that Johnny Stevens, new guy, I think, had just rode in with 10 men as reinforcements. Like, not even men, like 10 boys.
Johnny Stevens was the kid from the place.
The kid from the place.
Yeah, you know, like he's the like grandson.
Oh, is he?
Like the
I thought that was the AGs. Like the AGs were the one he rescued.
No, like he went to some town and he started a post office and he made guy postmaster and like Johnny's like the little. He's the excitable grandson of the postmaster in the one town.
He is the true believer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all in.
Yeah. But yeah. Only got 10 guys to come over. So like, son of a bitch.
Mostly like old people or like people way too young to right. like actually
do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Gordon debriefs Johnny after some suggestions from Dina about a plan. He's like, fuck your plan and fuck you.
Yep.
Like, if any of these Southerners who had fought the Wholeness for the last 20 years are any good, they're going to be the new scouts if I have something to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon's very anxious to hear if Mayor George Powhatan had sent a word. Johnny's like, yeah, but he doesn't trust papers, so he just told me to tell you, I'm sorry.
Go fuck yourself.
Not going to happen.
Yep.
Ooh.
So, Gordon goes back to his candlelit room, which I liked as a detail, because he's like, I can't sleep with the bright lights. Like, I want the candle. He's like, I can't sleep on a bed after living in the woods for so long. I need just the candle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he comes in with Dina reading in his bed. And she's like, what was wrong with these women in the 90s anyway? All afraid of technology and just talking about feminism and shit. Which I thought was funny. Like, she was obviously never a woman in a STEM field. Like,
right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, not like it's not bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're so much afraid of technology or just like not keen on being harassed all the time.
Yeah.
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 Or ignored, you know,
or completely
as,
ignored.
as a man in a STEM field who works with women, mm-hmm. like, one of the things that I've had to like regularly be a party to is like, I'll be in a meeting.
Uh-huh.
Right. And somebody will ask me a question about a project that I don't even work on.
Yeah.
While the woman who is like the lead on the project is in the room right there. Like,
yeah.
You could ask her, maybe. Yeah. Like, yeah. She would have a better idea of what's going on. Like,
yes.
But then they have to talk to a woman.
I am, like so incensed by it that I use all of this like mm-hmm. I don't know if it's passive aggressive what I'm doing. I don't mm-hmm. do it in a passive aggressive way, but I'm like, well, here's what I think the answer is.
Uh-huh.
But also, what do you think, woman who's actually in charge? Like, what do you think?
Right.
What is your opinion on this? Like, like, why am I the one who has to, like, open the conversation in that direction? I don't know.
Yeah. But it is something to be on the lookout for in corporate settings, for sure.
And what's actually fucked about it, like, more fucked, I would say, is, like, how many times I've had to do this to women. Right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Women who are project managers or, like, you know, business side people who are asking me technical questions, like, you know, they're like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, even they have the, I don't know, the inbuilt sort of, like, bias against women in technical fields somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's my rant over.
Yeah. And like a bonus thing to look out for is like women saying something in your meeting and then men repeating it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they respond to it like, oh, actually, wasn't that Susan's idea? Like,
sure was.
Shouldn't we talk to her about that? Like, I'm pretty sure she said that.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, yes, I disagree with Dina's interpretation of the ancient history books.
Oh, yeah. Like she wasn't there. She didn't see it.
Yeah, she wasn't there. But Gordon's like, you know, being a woman now is not great. Also,
being a woman at any point, I feel like, is not great.
Not stellar, no.
Not usually.
Yeah. No.
Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But Dina's like, you know who's to blame for all of that? Men. And you know who's mm-hmm. to blame for men? Women.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to do more to cull these bastards back then. I'm like, okay, fair.
Probably.
Shut these idiots down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fully agree.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Eventually. Maybe they are. Maybe that's why we have sperm count problems now and like hormone issues and shit that's like on the rise. So that's the reason why we put all the plastics in our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that why?
Curb
shut down the males.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
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 I guess them searching for shareholder wealth ended up with microplastics in everyone's balls.
Sure did.
Yep.
I heard about that the other day. And those researchers were amazed.
Like, oh shit.
That it's in everyone's
balls.
Everyone they sampled. It wasn't even in all the dogs yet. Every human.
Just a beanbag chair down there now.
Yeah, basically.
So yeah, anyway, though Gordon's comfy. Like, I'd really rather just slip into unconsciousness right now. Like, mm-hmm. Dina's down for some D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's like, all right, I guess. If he'll shut you up for a minute. I think it's later on that he's like, I don't know if they would have had a word for our kind of relationship, but
yeah,
it was certainly interesting. Anyway, next day at the War Council, Steve and Mark Agee are trying to demonstrate a night vision scope, like something with laser sights, but it's not really working. They're like, basically me when I demo anything at work. I'm like, it was working before. Like,
yeah.
Now you're watching, it doesn't work.
Yep.
I liked the note that the gathered representatives from the Willamette Valley are all wearing Volkswagen hood ornaments. Because they're found everywhere in garbage heaps. And like, if you read it this way, it's Willamette Valley instead of Volkswagen.
Is there that many Volkswagens out there?
I guess so.
In well, the it 80s, is maybe?
Oregon, so.
Yeah. You'd expect to see a few of them.
Yeah.
It would be like an Audi or something.
Maybe. But yes, everyone's
also. But they also have a Volkswagen. So.
Everyone's pretty underwhelmed with the weapons display, and they're also underwhelmed with Cyclops as a war tactician. Which, like, guys, he's not made for war thinking.
Yeah,
cut him a break.
It's just an old guy.
It's just, I mean, computer.
Yeah, computer. Right.
Help a computer.
Help a computer. Stop all the downloading. Mm-hmm.
Gordon's like, it's going to be years before the restored U.S. can help us out. And he's like, I guess it's not technically a lie.
Yeah.
It will be several years, but what you guys need is like more men and more leadership. And to himself, he's like, I'm not that guy. Mm-hmm. So
right.
I'm going to go south and get George Powhatan to help. Mm-hmm. And I'll be back by spring or I'll be dead.
Yeah.
So he wants to go right away, but the council makes him wait and plan and takes Philip and four other guys. There's like a note how he sees Dina on the way out of town. Oh, this is where like he's not quite sure what the term was for their relationship back in the day. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I think she's a dommy mommy. Like, that seems like a term. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he knew he was going to miss her. So there's a section where they're riding south through towns that had suffered and would be the breaking points if they were overrun by survivalists. Then Johnny rides up again, this time with another verbal letter. Three words, come on up. So like, oh, shit. So some guy named Calvin Lewis is leading them over a river and up to Sugarloaf Mountain, which I tried to Google this to find out where it is, and I got like 19 hits on the West Coast, so who knows.
Mm-hmm. Could be anything.
Could be almost anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's the one that's just north of Corvallis. Maybe. But there's also one in like Northern California and there's one north of Port. I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. Maybe the nuclear winter messed up the geography. Who knows? But
yeah,
could be.
So he's explaining to them about their strategies against the survivalists, which is less outright fighting, more like we're going to monitor them. And do, like, Swamp Fox tactics, like hit and run.
Yeah.
So just as Gordon's wondering where, like, the hidden watchers are, the horses start getting antsy, and Philip's like, it smells like bear fat.
Oh, shit.
That's then, probably not good.
Then, oh-ho, says Thorman from Game of Thrones for my reenactment. It is I. George Powhatan. Well smelled. Come on up with your noses. And you guys with your uniforms, and I'll show you what bear fat's good for. So they spend a couple of days up on Sugarloaf Mountain, where Powhatan's showing Gordon and the boys around his town, which is kind of like a neo-hippie commune, mm-hmm. with like breweries and like galleries of kids' artwork.
Honestly, I would live there. Pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'd go live there now.
Yeah, be a cool place to go visit.
Get a place, get places, and live in this village.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's always putting off all the business talk. Until eventually Gordon tracks him down, finding him, and then joining in a meditation session. Powhatan tells him a story about a time when he saw a small group of monkeys, or maybe chimpanzees, making their way through the valley. He's like, I figured they escaped from zoo.
Yeah.
They might not find that they were any happier now, but at least they were free. So he let him go. And so he's guilty of turning Earth into Soror. It was his fault.
Yes. Yep.
Fucking George Powhatan. But Gordon's like, I should really say something back to this. Like, it seems like he was telling me something, and then he's already Batmaned away. So,
yep.
Later, they have a kind of a gift exchange that's actually really a gift competition. Like,
a potlatch.
Yeah, like a argument via gifts, where both sides are being like, here's what you can help us defend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Dina was like, you should bring cotton blend underwear and like maxi pads.
Yeah,
because that will get the women on your side at least.
Yeah,
it's probably what he should have done.
Probably because like the residents of Sugarloaf Mountain, they're like, your video games are cute, but it's kind of like a puppet show. They don't have the same desire to like own them that he's felt. Also, the weapons that Philip demos, like, all right. And even the letters that they drummed up, like, they asked everyone in Corvallis to search their memories for old acquaintances. But so many of them have already died, everyone's like, oh, shit. Remember why they died?
We don't want to do that sad. Again. Yeah.
Just very sad. So, Gordon tries his trump card, which is lying about the country reviving back in the East. But he's like, but he can't even do it because Powhatan's listening. He's like someone who's like stronger than him and already had resurrected a kind of peace and was doing just fine. He's like, he'll be like, no, buddy. So he's like, well, maybe you all just have forgotten what it means to fight for something bigger than yourselves. Ugh. But Powhatan interrupts him. He's like, you know, this letter you brought me has my name on it, but it seems like it's actually for you, Mr. Inspector.
Oh, snap.
It's a letter from Dina that's like, listen, sorry, but it's become clear to me that men are a bit shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's good ones, but they're too few and far between. So me and the ladies are taking things into our own hands. P.S. Here's some underwear and sanitary napkins for the women.
Yep.
And especially you don't know it now, but this is what turns the tide of the whole war.
Yep.
Apparently. So, Gordon does manage to get a few more very young and very old recruits, and is making haste to try to stop whatever Dina is trying to do. But he startles awake one night at camp, and is like reflectively walking around the woods, noticing how well he can maneuver in the dark, but runs into Calvin, whose throat has been slit open.
Oh, shit.
And everyone else is about to get attacked by survivalists.
Fucking survivalists.
I know, right? He's like, I could just hide here and let this happen and then like just go on my merry way. I'd be no worse off than I was 16 months ago.
Yep.
But again, despite what he thinks he wants, he finds himself on his feet, blowing his whistle that Abby gave him. Being like, they fell for it, guys. Get them. And then it's like conked on the head. And then we cut to him being very dimly aware of a kind of death march through survivalist territory. We get some glimpses of the neo-serfdom of the Holnist territory. Think like slavery area south, like in Kindred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Comes to his senses with Johnny, realizing that Johnny probably carried him most of the way after being deposited in a hovel. So he's like, did Phil get away? He's like, yeah, your warning was enough to help us put up a fight. And I didn't see any black ears or any other parts on anyone's necklaces. P.S. Philip is black. I think they mentioned it before, but this is where I remembered it. So they make a note that everybody at this place seems to be packing things up, like getting ready to move. Gordon and Johnny are called in to speak with the boss. Johnny's like, well, through rain, sleet, snow, and survivalists. Gordon's like, one more time, I guess. Let's do this. So they meet with a Colonel Charles Bazor, he of seven earrings. And I pictured him of, like, a very tiny southern gay man, for whatever reason. Just made it funnier to me.
Like Truman Capote?
Kind of, yeah.
That'd be good.
He is formerly of the Oregon State Bar and Republican Commissioner for Jackson County. Currently, the judge advocate for the American Liberation Army.
Hmm.
So he's like, man, there's been so many armies. Like, which ones are you with exactly? And Mr. Inspector, how are things going out in the East anyway? Mm-hmm. Gorn's like, generally hit or miss from place to place.
Right. You know.
Johnny's like, you bastards are going to have to pay extra postage.
Yeah.
So we can deliver all that mail you stole.
Yeah.
Like, good job, buddy. Then General Macklin comes in. Johnny's taken back to his quarters. Macklin's like, let's just get this shit over with. Brings in some other guy. He of a jaunty hat.
Mm-hmm. Who's saying jaunty something hat.
Like, you know, it was such a small encounter and it was so long ago. I don't know. Gordon's like, you son of a bitch. Is in fact Roger Sapien himself. And then Gordon's like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said I know him right away. Mm-hmm. That was pretty dumb. But Bezor's like, by the way, we found this, and hands Gordon his journal that Roger had stolen back in chapter whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, interesting how all your travel notes make zero mention of a restored United States, like even at all. Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's like,
maybe it's bullshit.
Maybe it's a brand new idea.
Maybe it just happened. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like, but you guys killed a few of our men, so like technically you're strong enough to join our group, so... Gives him a copy of Nathan Hull's version of Mein Kampf to read.
Okay.
Which they talk about how feudalism is the natural order of civilization. Strongmen are leaders by right of strength. And if Aaron Burr had had his way, and that motherfucker Alexander Hamilton and Ben Franklin hadn't fucked everything up with their Order of Cincinnatus.
Yeah, that's the reason.
That's the reason. Johnny's like, you know, I wasn't much for schooling, but what the hell?
Yeah. Like, that's a very... small footnote.
Yeah. Gordon's like,
that was not the reason America was in.
Gordon's like, it's called the big lie, Johnny, and here's what it is. Like,
yeah.
Just make something up and then talk about it. Like, he's like, I'm actually an expert at this.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to say though.
No. And this is where we find out, this is where they tell us if we didn't look up in Wikipedia who the actual Cincinnatus was.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
The farmer general farmer who said, fuck your crowns. Yep. And then...
the model dictator.
Yeah. Somewhere in here, another captive is brought in who's wearing a different uniform with, like, a patch that has a bear on it and a red stripe. And Gorn's like,
sounds like California.
California way.
California.
California!
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I got.
Are you going to say knows how to party, or are you talking about the OC?
No, I'm not. I was going to let someone else do that, but... the moment's gone now.
Okay. Well, for the record, California knows how to party.
They do.
Yeah.
It was Anthony Kiedis.
He was just a big fan still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had wrote 19 more songs about California that day.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So anyway, Macklin calls Gordon back in to discuss a deal they proposed. Basically, Gordon helps them take Corvallis, and then he could be Baron of there or something.
Ooh.
And I guess we learned something about this super soldier program they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Macklin and some other guy, they're augmented. Like, Gordon mentions they're much faster than he would expect. And they are weird looking.
Yeah. They got wiry, weird muscles.
Yeah. 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 So we talked about this a little bit, but like, they're super hyper masculines, basically. Roided up and sent to war.
Yeah.
But then war was over, and so they're like, well, I guess another war. Let's go.
Yeah.
Just keep doing war. That's what we do.
Yeah. Like, what do you do with a super soldier? They can't all be like Captain America.
No. No. Just look at U.S. Soldier, even.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Gordon's like, okay, well, your deal sounds nice, but just one question. Like, who's out there kicking your ass so hard that you have to run away right now?
Oh, snap.
Oh.
He's like, get him out of here.
Well, sir.
And then another officer here is getting executed because I forget, but I guess he leaked some information. Gordon's like, way to go, California, bro. Mm-hmm. Took at least one more of them with you.
Yep.
Yep.
Anthony Kiedis did not die in vain.
Right.
Yes. A note has been slipped to Gordon from this woman / servant who's been bringing them gruel. Written on the back of Dina's note that she took from his pants, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, is it true? Are women free in the North? Which Gordon then promptly eats.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which you would have to.
They do whatever the fuck they want, I guess.
Yeah.
It is true.
Apparently.
Especially compared to there.
They don't listen to our war councils for one thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So Gordon has a dream of Ben Franklin playing chess with a potbelly stove, which I kind of loved.
That's awesome.
They're debating the nature of tyrants, and the stove keeps repeating Cyclops' words, "Who will take responsibility?" And old Benji sacrifices his queen to the stove, and even in his dream, Gordon's like, "Oh, shit. All right."
What's that supposed to mean?
What does it mean?
Oh, right. Geez.
Yeah. Johnny wakes him up, though, being like, "Hey, something's up with these guards. In fact, they've been poisoned by that one lady who's named Heather, and her friend, who's Bezor's mistress, who I didn't mention before."
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Yeah. Okay. They bring them back their completely worthless mail and his journal.
Mm-hmm.
And then Johnny stabs the shit out of the one guy who's left, poor Mr. Sapien.
Good.
And they wreck up a bunch of canoes, steal one, and then paddle away down the river.
Huzzah!
Through rapids until the inevitable crash that ruins their boat and sends them all into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Each guy grabs one of the ladies. I think Gordon grabbed Heather by the hair, pulled them to shore. He's like, "We have to get rid of this wreck, so they think we made it further than this." But then Johnny notices their mailbag, dives in after him, and is like, "Wash the fuck away."
Yep.
Bruh. Oh.
Just gone.
Just gone.
Just gone.
Dude.
Rivers out there will do that.
Gordon should have been like, "By the way, we don't care about this particular bag of mail.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine." But no. Mm-hmm. So he leads the women down trails and roads past doomsday prep bunkers and deserted mansions with had like skinned dogs.
Oh, jeez.
Weird.
What?
The ladies are like, "Get that meat."
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
are survivalists.
They dove right in and like, yeah.
They want to survive, I guess.
Chomp, chomp.
But yeah, the mistress is confirming to them that they were ready to move quickly because they really were fighting a three-front war.
Mm-hmm.
And is like, "Got to take the north or we're going to die." So Gordon's thinking about how Powhatan was right about fighting for big things. And Bezor had been right. And even Nathan Holen had been right about Ben Franklin.
Mm.
And then they run smack into General Macklin and some other augmented, and they're quickly recaptured.
Fuck.
Fuck.
Damn it.
Gordon finds himself hanging upside down by his feet, tied to the rafters. Macklin does the whole villain monologue thing, while whimpering is heard from another room, like the two women and some unknown third person. He's like, "Your plan failed, Mr. Inspector, but your scouts sure fought well, surprised us." And Gordon's like, "I don't know anything about that. I never even knew what their plan was." And so he's like, "Oh, so a feminist, huh?" Which I'm like, it took me a sec. I'm like, "Oh, okay, I get it. I get it, because you let them do what they wanted to do."
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Plus that one Negro scout's been giving us trouble.
Ooh.
Talks about this plan they had for this Blitzkrieg to like do an end around to the north.
Mm-hmm.
And then being like, "Anyone who comes after us is going to have to go through Powhatan and Sugarloaf Mountain. And that'll be like a buffer. So we'll be set."
Yep.
Yep. Meanwhile, there's some disturbance outside. Macklin and the other guy have to run out. Whatever is going on. Gordon's like, "Phil, run away. Oh my God." But Macklin smacks the shit out of him and is like, "Stay still until I'm back," and then leaves. So while he's swinging like a hock of ham in a butcher shop,
mm-hmm.
Gordon's like suddenly surrounded by the ghosts of everybody he's lost.
Mm.
And they do like the thing. He has to summon all his strength and they're like cheering him on or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. To sort of swing up and grab the rope, like remembers his gym class techniques and just barely manages to do a rope climb to the rafters. Like, even the ghost of the United States shows up. Which I didn't know was a thing, but I guess.
I don't know.
Guess it was Columbia? Sam the Eagle.
I would know Columbia.
In the Muppet version of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Or Eagly.
Oh, maybe.
Eagly.
Whoever it was, they had the Foley done by a red-tailed hawk, because it sounds cooler. Anyway. So, yes, he climbs up there. Bezor runs back in with a gun. Gordon jumps down on him like Ezio Auditore.
Mm-hmm.
Smashes his head into the ground. Then the women grab his knives and start doing the needful.
Good.
And Gordon goes to help the third person. And guess what? It was Dina. It was Dina all along. She's like dying in there.
Oh, no.
Warren's like, oh, shit, how am I going to carry her all the way back through hundreds of miles of territory? But then he realizes, oh, it's too late.
Aww.
Hugs are too hard for a very injured person. But like, Gordon, I see. He's like, I see it, too. Yeah. Oh, and thus ends Dina. Yeah. Gordon tells the women, like, you can stop doing the needful now. We got to get out of here. But then Macklin's back at the door. He tells the women to run, like, survive if you can, but Gordon, I'm going to need your help. It's like your friend Phil. Friend Phil is proving way hard to catch, so you'll do very nicely as bait. And Gordon's like, Phil, don't do it. He's an augment.
Right.
But Phil doesn't even show up. Instead, just as Macklin's about to dispose of Gordon, another set of moccasins enters the lamp life. George Powhatan himself. It's like,
weird,
Phil put up a good
fight. Weird hippie dude.
Weird old silver guy.
Yeah.
Phil put up a good fight, and I'm here now because I know he would have answered your challenge if he was still breathing. So, Gordon gets thrown aside and then takes up the role of Krillin for this whole fight in the dark.
Yep.
He's just here like, man, they're so powerful. I can't see them.
Can't even follow their movement with my eyes.
I know. I can only feel their power levels.
Ah.
They fight a while until Macklin grabs Powhatan by the throat and lifts him up. He's taking huge gulps of air. And Gordon's like, he was just too old for this, I think. But then he's like, there's something I should tell you, Macklin. I'm not left-handed.
Oh.
Because he was like a new kind of augmented guy, and all that gasping was him gathering up a spirit bomb.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they fucking fight some more.
Yeah.
And ultimately, Macklin gets tossed into a ravine or something.
Yep.
So he's
perfect.
Dead.
Perfect. Perfect.
All right, I'm back on written notes, so bear with me. So Gordon's like, so you were part of the war machine all along. Why didn't you just tell me back there? You think I wouldn't have understood? Powhatan's like, big things will take everything you love, and then they'll still demand more. He's like, you thought you could just say no to the big lie? So he's like, anyway, why did you do it? And George is like, honestly, the women. Like, they wouldn't stop talking about your story of your Amazons.
Yeah.
Then Phil showed up all desperate and asking for help, and they just would not shut up. Like, had to go do it. So, anyway, the two of them slump down and weep together, mourning as men can only mourn themselves. Then we get a poem.
Oh.
Fierce winter lingers until ocean does her duty. Chasing him with spring.
Hmm. Nice.
So that's the end of Cincinnatus. Now, neither chaos. So this is basically like falling action as we get details on Dina's plan. Like, her scouts were to venture south and eventually pretend to get fed up with war and get themselves up, like knowing the wholeness were very hungry for women to and would not refuse. They would endure a lot of unpleasantness, we'll say. And then until they were invited in and accepted by their captors, and then one day they were going to just fucking flip and stab the fuck out of them.
Yep.
Okay.
And they mentioned from a military standpoint that didn't work at all. But Gordon is writing a letter back to Pine Ridge, and it's now a legend in its own rights. Like, he's noticed women whispering to each other about this plan and how really they should take more control of this. Like, we should be killing these fuckers. Coming up with ways to snuff out madmen that would try to grab power again.
Mm-hmm.
So Gordon's healed at least enough to travel again and has stepped away from Cyclops Council because they don't need him anymore. He's like, I've done the best I can do for this. Powhatan has come to Corvallis to train the new recruits that are flowing in now. They're all marveling at the city and their new postal blimp.
Ooh.
Yep.
Postal blimp, you say? Yep.
And he's like, basically, this war is over. Now it's just a question of how long it's going to take to finish. But we'll eventually get it done. And God help whoever offers Powhatan a crown afterward. So Gordon thinks his best use is growing the postal network again, and is more than a little curious to see what sleepy California has been up to. And this time he rides out of town and does not look back. The end.
Okay.
If it wasn't for my psycho girlfriend, I never would have spent that year in college. Or whatever. The end.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal.
So yeah. So you didn't need to read it. I could just write it to you.
Right.
It's basically exactly the same.
Yeah, that's cool. Exactly how it went.
Perfect.
So yes, any final thoughts?
Mm.
Would you recommend this to somebody today?
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
It was reasonable. It was well written. Entertaining. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It does still have that you know, I mean, it was written by a man in the 80s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so like there's some like funny ideas about women in there, but overall if you can allow for that point of view, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
It wouldn't worthwhile. Be the first thing I recommend to somebody, but if they were interested in sci-fi from this era, it'd be interesting enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to check out more of Mr. Brin's work.
Like the Uplift Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's famous for the Uplift series, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, like, that's some fun.
Nice. Yeah. I had them all in a compendium, but I never read it, and then it got destroyed, so...
Oh. That's sad.
Same with my first copy of The Postman.
What?
The fuck? Well, I belonged, in the late 90s, I signed up 1 year for, so I could get the Star Wars Encyclopedia.
Uh-huh.
For, like, $5 for a sci-fi book club.
Yeah.
Like the CDs. So mm-hmm. I got catalogs and shit for a year and I had to buy a few books. So that was one of them. That was one of them that was like, put them all in one volume. And then I had The Postman.
Yeah.
I got a Star Wars one that had like Tales from Jabba's Palace and all the other ones combined.
Nice.
A couple others. There were some good books and stuff, but they got destroyed in the storage unit flood back in 08.
Blech.
So. Books are heavy. They don't float up in the if they're all in a box together.
Paper doesn't last.
So, not when it sits in flood water for like 2 days.
Even if it doesn't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But, oh, yeah. Sad. Yes. So, would you recommend Uplift War more readily than this one?
I don't know. I never read them, so. Oh. Never got around to it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Supposed to be pretty good, so I'd recommend both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I think there's just more Uplift books out there.
All right. Well, now we have to watch this fucking movie.
Right?
We do. Not going to be anything like the book.
Is it anywhere that I can just stream it?
There used to be?
It looks like no.
But I don't know.
It's Warner Brothers. It should be on Max, but right?
Probably on Max.
Should be, but maybe not. Anyway, I guess we'll have to figure out where we can watch it.
Yep.
I guess you can rent it from the usual places.
Probably.
Blech.
Yeah.
I would imagine, like it hasn't disappeared from the face of the earth. Like, there will be a way.
No, it's available to rent on everything.
They should pay me $1 to rent this.
Apple TV, YouTube, Vudu, Google Play, Microsoft. You get to pay them like $4. So.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. $4 for this shit? Okay. Anyway.
Or you can buy it and own it forever.
Oh. Oh boy.
Until they take it away from you.
Right.
Not if I physically own it.
Just decide to not.
They're not coming into my house and finding my copy of The Postman.
Not yet.
Yeah.
So, if that's happening, I'll be long gone anyway.
They'll do a search for The Big Lie.
Yep.
And find all of the books that mention it and teach you about it. And like, gotta
well, the survivalists will come and say something about boner pills while taking your copy of The Postman.
Well, if that shit happens, I probably won't be in America anymore. So.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
That's going on.
Good call. Well,
so unfortunately, I will lose my copy, but I won't know. So.
Copies can be rebought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. So, other Chris, do you have anything else that's good? Oh, sorry. I meant the other Chris. This Chris with the yam.
Me? Okay.
Do you have anything else that's good?
Sure, lots of stuff. But...
Yeah. Oh, you want to tell us about it? Or?
Well, I'm thinking where to start.
All secrets.
So. I did that Praxis yesterday, so that's hopefully going to go well, but I won't go for a month.
4 months, you'll know if you...
Jesus, yeah. Like, what the hell? At least my GRE, they're like, hey, here's what you got on the multi-choice
right?
part.
Yeah.
This one, they're like, no, we're not going to tell you. So
you get to know nothing.
Right. Let's see. We finished up X-Men 97.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I need to finish
Speaking
that
of, like,
too.
Genocides and other shit, that was good.
Oh, God. Jeez.
It's pretty dark for, because they, you know, they made it for us, so it's very adult theme, like, in that way.
Yeah.
Not in sexy time, per se, but there's a little bit of that, too.
What?
Yeah.
Dang.
You don't see anything, but you see them, like, make out and start and shit, so.
Start?
Yeah. Well, like, they're, like, all over each other, like, and then it'll, like, fade away or something, you know, something like that.
Cut to the window, all right.
Like, you wouldn't see the action, the actions themselves. But it's not that kind good. Of show. It's not on Disney Plus, though.
Well.
What else? Oh, I saw Civil War.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Went and saw that. That was wow. It was good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. Can't recommend that enough. People should see that when they can.
Yeah.
I need to see Planet of the Apes still.
Planet of the Apes was okay.
Yeah, that's what I hear. People have been enjoying it. But now we've
like
got Furiosa
setting up a new
out.
Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
If it does well.
Well, they still got a bridge between that beginning and Charlton Heston's era.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
There's plenty of stories to tell in there.
Yeah.
Went
it
to
also
DC.
It also featured people escaping from a zoo.
Good.
It'd be like, yeah,
that's interesting.
There's zebras here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry.
I went to DC.
Yeah.
The other week. That was fast, but interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that should, oddly enough, I should probably have that passport before my scores come in. So
very weird.
Because she said that it takes about 4 weeks for them to get the passport back from Luxembourg.
Okay.
And they'll send it to me with my 2-day shipping.
Nice.
Mm. So, and that was already a week and a little plus ago. So by the time, pretty much by the time I finish school with the extra week we have, like, it'll probably be getting close.
Very nice.
That'll be fun. And then I can look at it and go, yay. Until I'm able to actually use it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
That might not be for a while, but hopefully within a year I'll be able to go there and see stuff.
Cool.
Use that European Union passport. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Travel around and shit.
Yeah. That'll be fun too once they put in that Etias stuff next year. I won't have to get that. So.
Nice.
So everybody in the world is, for all of us visa-free travel people, are implementing electronic travel authorization. So electronic mini visas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we did that. We started it, apparently. Like, we did that, like, 20 years ago.
So they're like,
oh, hey, all you foreigners coming, because it's post 9/11, we're going to, like, fingerprint you.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that stuff was. Like, we're going to know who you are. So everyone else was like, oh, we don't do that yet, but now they are.
Now they are.
So Canada did it a couple years ago, because I remember reading about that, except we don't have to do it because we're Americans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year, they're supposed to put in place in the EU the Etias one, so as long as you qualify, it's like 10 euros or something for like a 3-year pass.
Dang.
So once you have it, then you can use it, you know, like you're in any time, but it's so they know who you are and when you're coming. Yeah. Coming and going, but I won't have to do that, so.
Right.
Nice.
Because I'll be an EU citizen. It's actually like, then you run into like, no, you can't get that because you're an EU citizen. Like, they will get mad at you if you try.
Oh.
So if I ever go, shit, I don't have my Luxembourg passport, I need to use my American one, I don't know what's going to happen because I can't. I'll get to the border, they'll be like, you weren't supposed to do
that. You're going to end up in Tom Hanks terminal situation. You'll have to live in an airport.
No, I'll have my Luxembourg ID. I'll have my Luxembourg ID that acts like a travel document. It's just not a passport for flying, but they'll probably accept it and like get your passport renewed. I'm like, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
So,
because
I read online, like, so it's really easy to get the appointment to get the first passport.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's really hard to get one at the embassy to renew it.
Okay.
It's like a little slightly different branch process. So people are like, yeah, they're full up for like a year.
Yeah.
Before, so they're like, so your best bet's to go to Luxembourg and renew it there.
All right.
It's like, cool, then I have a reason to go to Luxembourg more often. I'm hoping, so they're switching to a 10-year passport next year, but I'm hoping they'll still offer a 5-year, because I don't really want to have to, like, go different places every 5 years, because my ID card's good for 10 already, but I'm like, if I could pay for another 5-year passport, then yeah. That'll expire around the same time my ID card expires. I can just go get them both at the same time.
Right. Mm.
But we'll see. Like, other than that, like, yeah, I'm looking forward to all that.
Nice.
Looking forward to travel. I don't know how it's going to work with, like, buying tickets and at the airport and yeah. shit like that. But I think I got it narrowed down to you're going to Europe. You use your Luxembourg passport when you buy your tickets.
Yeah.
Because that's what the information the airlines send to Europe to go, can this person come here?
Yeah.
You know, so that way they let you on the plane. But they're like, have both your passports. You need them anyways. Because to enter America, you have to be on your American passport. If you're right. American, that's a rule. Yeah. So they're like, just bring both.
I'm yeah, that's like, okay. fine.
Because when I check in, if I use the EU one, they'll be like, where's your stamp?
Yeah.
Like, where's your, I'm like, I'm an American. As oh, well. I am. Like, oh, okay.
Bring you all should the have shown me that
one
first. Can.
I'm like, I don't know. Here's the passports. You pick. Like, I put this one on there because then you're going to go, oh, you don't have Etias. We can't let you on the plane.
Right.
They're like, no, EU passport. But I don't know. It seems kind of weird.
Yeah.
So
just get as many as you can, and then you'll look like a spy.
I would like to, but the only other one I can get easily is the Israeli one. That means I have to move there.
Keep them in a safe deposit box with a pile of cash. Different
I might do that.
Currencies.
And a 3D printed gun.
Yeah.
Right. No, I plan to, like, I was thinking, I'm like, so I'm saving up a little bit of cash in Merchant Kong.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of gold. That I'm like, but you know what? I should probably have, like, 500 euros just to be safe.
Just in case.
If I need it, if I have to flee somewhere, that's a little bit of cash. Cash to get me started in Europe.
That's why you get a Rolex.
I did think about that.
Because then you can just sell it when you get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I have enough I want to put or can really afford to put into a watch.
Yeah, fair.
So we'll see. But that was a thought too.
Yeah.
That'd be a way to transfer out whatever I have enough for that, transfer it out of the country. Wear it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But yeah. But cool beans. Maybe someday I'd get the Israeli one, but. Not really ready to move to Israel for a year.
Not today, at least. Not a great time to be
people
there.
Are doing. They're still making Aliyah. Yeah. It kind of is, because then you're like, oh, I'm going to support my people.
Yeah.
But it's a tough time. So yeah. The economy's not doing so great there because war.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But I wasn't planning on going anytime soon.
I'd rather go to Luxembourg at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had a choice.
A little easier.
Yeah.
And I can see one of their fun festivals and... eat a potato pancake or something.
So, right.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, a grumple kichler or however they say it. I don't know. They have a weird name waffle. For it. So I get one of those. I was just thinking that today when I go, I'm like, you know what? I should like fly into Belgium.
Yeah.
Either Antwerp or Brussels and spend like a day there.
Yeah.
Have some stuff. And then I can take the train from there to Luxembourg City.
Yeah.
Spend several days there, just kind of getting to know the place a little bit. And then I can go hop on a train and go to Germany because I've never been there. It's right there.
Drink beer out of a boot.
You know, and leave out of like Frankfurt or something after seeing some German places. So.
Have a big sausage.
Go. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah, and drink out of the boot.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. That's little trip. Stay at some hostels because they're cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I wanted to tell you guys this. I did a... So the EU elections are coming up.
Yeah.
I won't get to vote in them this time. But there was a thing Luxembourg put out of which... part of your people should you vote for?
Yeah.
If you're not sure, who do you mesh with?
Right.
So you could do this little survey and it suggests like who you might fit with better.
Uh-huh.
My top match was the Pirate Party. I thought it might be like maybe the Democratic Party, the DP.
Yeah.
Or someone like that. But like, no, you got Pirate Party followed by Volt. Oh. Like, I don't know what Volt is.
They're
like
Voltron?
Some kind of pan-European party, but they don't have a large... They didn't win a seat in the last election, so they're not really big.
Mm. Mm.
The Pirate Party, I'm like, I know of that. I know about them.
Yeah.
They've got, I think, 2 seats from Luxembourg in the, or 1 seat from Luxembourg in the European Parliament, and they have 2 or 3 seats in the Luxembourg Parliament.
Yeah.
In the Chamber of Deputies. So they're popular enough for one of the smaller parties, not one of the biggies.
Nice.
Because the biggies in Luxembourg are the CSV, which is the Christian Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
The LSAP, which is their socialist party, and then the DP, Democratic Party, and then Greens kind of come in next a little bit.
Yeah.
And they were in the previous government. They helped form that coalition, but then they got a sound flomping
uh-huh.
in the election last fall. So people were upset at the Greens for some reason. So like Greens and Pirates kind of come fill in the rest.
I gotcha.
So, but yeah, the pirate party is all about like openness, transparency. I actually liked their platform when I looked at it. They're like, yeah, we're about like open transparency. We promote more democracy.
Yeah.
We should have more referendums. We want everybody who's old to have a place in an old people's home.
Hmm.
Like, that's pretty good. Yeah. Like, so you don't have to worry about being like homeless and destitute.
Yeah. Like, their version like of the Green Party, as far as I know, isn't just propped up by the Republicans to run spoiler candidates. So
no, their Green Party actually does stuff, like in most of Europe, most of their Green Parties do.
Right.
Like, promote solar and alternative energy and, like, some kind of basic socialist platforms.
Yeah, but the other one promotes Voltron, and that's pretty cool. Like, all of Europe can form the head. And
But yeah, I thought that was fun. I was like, that's not who I would have picked for myself, but why not? They seem okay.
Why not?
So, I'm like, well, I could be a pirate. Yeah, look, but the fun thing is, like, when you join, you can join the pirate party. And like people who do that when like they're politicians and they write in their newsletters, they always start with "Ahoy!" I'm like, that's fantastic.
Nice,
thank you, pirates. Man. Like, very you nice. Do serious stuff, but you don't take everything super seriously.
That's you know, I'm sad because Alexander Graham Bell, when he invented the telephone, suggested that that is how you answer the phone.
Yeah,
yeah, ahoy! Ahoy. That would be fun. Hoy. You know,
ahoy, hoy,
ahoy, hoy.
That would be great.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah, so I'm looking at citizens' rights, data protection, privacy for physical persons, transparency of government, free access to information and education, in-depth overhaul of copyright and patent law, which is apparently actually a really big problem in Europe, and opposes every form of censorship.
Okay. So, seems pretty cool.
Because next time I'll get to vote.
Nice.
And if I was in Luxembourg, it's compulsory. But since I'm not physically in Luxembourg, it's your choice.
And
so
that's cool.
But as far as I was looking at it, like, we don't think everyone's ever actually been prosecuted for not voting. You're just supposed to tell your like local public prosecutor that you didn't vote and that you're really sorry. You won't do it next. Like, you'll vote next time. So I really meant to.
Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, I'll get to vote. National elections in 4 years.
Yeah.
Because they just had it last year. Because it's every 5 years for both. And then EU elections in 5 years.
Nice.
Okay.
In my mid-40s. Oh, boy. But sadly, I honestly feel like my vote will count more over there than it does here.
Well, yeah. There are fewer of them.
There are. Like, so I have a percentage-wise voice. Yeah. Since there's only... Because the only people that can vote in Luxembourg or citizens. This is a debate there because since half the population is like foreign residents, like, well, maybe we should give them the right to vote in national elections.
Yeah.
They do live here.
Right.
I'm like, but we're kind of like, but yeah, but some of them are only here for like a little while.
Yeah.
They're not really connected to the place. Others are. But we don't know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, what do you do when you basically don't let half of your population or more vote in your national elections?
Have but on the other hand, go kill space bugs and then they can vote.
Right.
We covered this.
Like, but on the other hand, yeah, like the concept of citizenship is important in belonging to a place and making choices for it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd kind of be inclined to be like, well, if someone's lived here for like 5 years, you know, you should probably maybe, you could maybe let them vote.
Yeah.
They don't show any signs they're leaving. And especially if they start the naturalization process. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, clearly then they want to be here. So I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So.
We got some time.
As long as the ADR doesn't get more votes, then we'll be okay. They're Luxembourg's equivalent for the alternative for Germany.
Oh.
Alternative for Deutschland, the AfD. Yeah, ADR is Luxembourg equivalent. So
interesting. Mm.
They're a little bit more right-wing, nationalist, don't like immigrants, things like that. But they also do things like, hey, we need to increase the usage of Luxembourgish in Luxembourg.
Yeah.
And we like want to preserve our history and culture. So I'm like, could you do that without some of the asshole shit?
No.
Like, maybe you'd be a little, you'd have fare a little better and people wouldn't be afraid of you.
Maybe. But asshole stuff.
Yeah.
See? The ladies should
have like, but we support the Grand Duke. Yep. And I'm like, but the Grand Duke would tell you to fuck off. So, like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you guys. Maybe not. If you want in a government, not to your face, but. Secretly, he'd be like, fuck off. So.
Right. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds very intense.
It can be. It's been interesting. Yeah. I have to try to pay attention to this stuff more.
Do your due diligence as a citizen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Other Chris. Oh, do you have God. Something else that's good?
So I've been catching up on the last couple of Stephen Bruce books. And I don't have a ton to say about it. like one of them the setup is okay, so this is a fantasy series, right?
Yep.
Takes place in another universe in a, you know, fantasy type setting, right?
Yeah.
And our main guy is on the run from some bad people.
Uh-huh.
And he's looking for a place where, like, he can be reasonably, like, undetectable and, like, protected from, like, magic things happening to him, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And his friend that he's talking to is like, well, have you considered the theater?
Oh.
And he's like, what? And like, well, yeah, like they got magical protections because they're like, you know, trying to start a show and they don't want rival theaters to be able to eavesdrop on what they're doing in there.
Oh.
They got lots of magical protections in theaters. So like, maybe you should hide out in a theater.
Yeah.
And he's like, cool. Do you know a theater I can hang out in? Like, yeah. Okay. So he goes to a theater.
Uh-huh.
And asks if he can hang out, and they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And mm-hmm. they're rehearsing for a musical.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it's a fantasy book about a guy who doesn't like musicals hanging out in a theater while they're rehearsing for a musical. And, like, each chapter starts with... each chapter starts with a song.
Yeah.
Nice.
And yeah. The songs are like, you know, thinly veiled, sort of like to the tune of sort of parody of like actual musical theater.
Yeah.
but like with lyrics changed to, you know, for the story of the musical that like they're actually doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the musical itself is it's a musical about a play that was shut down. Because certain members of like the government found it sort of slanderous. And the same sort of government is trying to shut down this musical now because it is also considered slanderous somehow. So anyway, like I guess like the book I would say is like peak Stephen Bruce in that like he's a guy that writes to like entertain himself.
Yeah.
And it, uh-huh. it, like it you know it just happens that like the stuff that he writes also entertains me, but but like you can tell while he's writing it that he's like, you know, totally tickled by what he's writing. Like
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
So, like, I get a lot of enjoyment from his enjoyment, I guess.
Nice.
Of, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I started reading another one of his that's, it's kind of great.
Mm-hmm.
He has a series of books that are in-universe historical romances.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That are
kind of written in the style of Dumas. Ooh. Like they're overly yeah. wordy and like
yeah.
But anyway, like again, it's him writing in a way that like entertains him, you know.
Right.
But this book started with a foreword by another in-universe writer.
Oh, geez.
A poet who's talking
layers
about
upon
like
layers.
Like the entire foreword is kind of this author complaining about how the publisher asked him to write a foreword, and they asked him for 1,000 words, and he. Like, basically, the whole thing is like, well, I summed it up in one word, perfection. And now the publisher's on my ass for, you know, 999 more words.
right.
for the foreword. And so basically the entire foreword is him bitching about how the publisher wanted more words. Like, and then there's a preface after the foreword written by another in-universe writer who is a literature critic who doesn't uh-huh. like the book. Right? Like
sounds fantastic.
You know, he's like, oh, he approached me to write the preface, and I'm writing it. But he's like, yeah, like, what would be better than, like, a preface from my harshest critic? And he's like, well, I can think of, like, several harsher critics of yours. Like, I don't know why you came to me for this, but, and then, like...
There's people out there that hate you even more.
Basically, like, the preface ends with, like, and surprisingly, like, I actually enjoyed this. So, like, read this good, not great, but read this good book. Like, right. You know, read it. Nice. And he also had some words about the guy who wrote the foreword, like, So, yeah, like the whole thing is like him writing to entertain himself. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I find it incredibly entertaining.
That's funny.
Cool. So other people should read it too.
Yeah. What were the names of the books?
So the last one was, Leorn.
Okay. That's the romance one.
No. So
that's the musical one.
Yeah. That one's okay. The one that's about a musical.
Okay.
Like takes place in the, you know, the production of a musical, which is
mm-hmm.
yeah
ridiculous.
Yeah.
The one that I just started, the one that's written by the in-universe romance author is called The Baron of Magister Valley.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in the jacket that it's definitely not just a take on which was it? Again, like a Dumas. Like it's definitely not just a reworking in a fantasy setting of another novel that already exists. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely not just The Talented Mr. Ripley. You know.
Right. It's totally definitely different
like
than
that.
That.
Movie.
Definitely yeah. not definitely. Just The Man in the Iron Mask. Definitely not just that.
Right.
You know? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Nice.
Oh, it was The Count of Monte Cristo. That's,
oh, okay.
That's what it is. Definitely not a blatant ripoff.
Definitely not that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you.
So me.
Travis. What else is good?
Shit. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I had a couple of books that I wanted to bring up that actually, like, accidentally ended up being interesting companion pieces to this book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the first one was by our friend David Graeber of Bullshit Jobs Notoriety.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I read his book called The Democracy Project.
Mm-hmm.
A History, a Crisis, a Movement, which I frequently forget that he was like a key player in the Occupy Wall Street
mm-hmm.
situation. Yeah. So that's primarily what this book is about, like how he got involved with it, like what it was, like issues they ran into. But
mm-hmm.
What I thought was really interesting in this book was him just basically talking about how, A, like people think they know what a democracy is, and like, yeah, you just vote. Like we do in America, and like that's not even close. Like you vote in a democracy or whatever, but here's how you could actually set up one. And so mm-hmm. talking through how they organized, you know, to have a true democracy for their Occupy situation.
Yeah.
And just things about it that made it unique, like how they didn't have actual demands. So he doesn't say it was a protest.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something they were doing. Like, here's how we're going to set it up. Like, basically, we don't agree with a lot of stuff going on in government, so here's how we want to do it. And
right.
So I thought it was interesting how they dealt with like setting up new group organizations and how to make sure everybody had a voice while they were voting without mm-hmm. having to have like representatives or electoral colleges or whatever. And how you yeah. could have more than just a yes or no vote. You could have like a yes, a no, like, I don't really like this, but if I'm the only one holding out, then okay.
Yeah.
Or like, and absolutely not, and like, we have to shut it down. So that was interesting. And I especially liked him talking about, what, like, what could you do instead? Like, what's another government you could set up? And how his main thing was like, I don't have the answer to that, but I think what we should focus on is like, continue to think about stuff.
Yeah.
Like he talked about, he name checked like Ursula K. Le Guin and other sci-fi writers being like, that's why they're so interesting. They're just coming up with ideas.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
How you could run things differently. And calling out how people like to shut down movements by being like, okay, well, you're going to do this, but how are you going to solve every single problem known to man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, well, I'm going to tell you a secret. We didn't know when we started America how to run everything. Like,
yeah.
Nope.
You figure it out while you go. Like, the government should be focused on solving problems. Yeah. Consolidating.
And that was the point. Like, solve problems within freedom.
Yeah.
And that people would do it together by using, you know, their smarts.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
What a concept. You know?
So, so that one was really interesting.
And yeah, then sounds like it.
One that I just finished is called Night Bitch by Rachel Yoder.
Okay.
And I picked it up because I saw that they're making this into a movie with Amy Adams.
Okay.
And somebody on Reddit was like, well, how are they going to do this? And so I'm like, I want to find out what they're talking about. So
yeah.
So the basic point of the story of Night Bitch is it focuses on a not brand new mother, but a mother of like a 3-year-old who, through various situations, decides that she's probably becoming a dog. She's grown a cyst on her back that looks very tail-like, and she's got hair everywhere, and like her teeth seem sharper to her all of a sudden, and like she like spends a lot of time at the butcher's counter, like just really appreciating all the meat and just really wants to eat like raw meat.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I'm probably turning into a dog. So well,
what else would be happening?
So the whole point of the book is like, you know, focused in on how, you know, women in the situation where they're like a stay-at-home mom can feel like they're stripping away all their personhood from them. Like, we only care about you taking care of the kid. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to hear about your complaints. Like, just do what we're telling you to do. Like, put the kid to bed, clean up his poop and shit. Like, I'm the man here. I'm taking care of the money. So, like, I have to go in my office when I get home. I don't care what you need. So she's just like the dog in the house, doing tricks, basically. But it's really, I think she set it up really well because, A, she doesn't have a name. She's only ever the mother or Night Bitch, depending on how far she's into her delusion.
Yeah.
And she doesn't ever really tell you what is actually happening. So it really put me in mind of like a Shirley Jackson type where it's like domestic, not really horror, but kind of horror adjacent, like body horror. And let her kind of explore the mother's complaints about her situation, but like also really loving her kid, but also being really upset with her husband because he like never thinks about what she might need.
Yeah.
So. And I am actually really curious if they're going to show Amy Adams like running naked through the city and shitting on everyone's lawn.
I hope like, they do.
I hope they do. I really hope they do. So.
Palm d'Or.
45 minutes standing ovation.
Right.
Yes, exactly. But yes, it was really good. There was also a part in here where she like found a book by some lady called like a field guide to magical women that she's reading. And it's like a smaller, like it's a mirror of the book itself where she's not really sure because it's written very academically, but is this like a Stephen Bruce book where it's like supposed to be a joke,
right?
And like all these magical women she's talking about are just like characterizations of situations women can be in.
Right.
Or did she actually study folklore and like there really are like banshee women out there that she found and like studied. So
interesting.
It's very good. I liked it a lot. So Night Sounds Bitch.
Cool. Night Bitch.
Oh, and I should also say the thing that really drives her into her psychosis is that her son fucking loves it when she plays doggy. He wants to do it too. And so it's like very, it's like very dark, and I thought very, very funny. Because like she uses that to her advantage, because to talk about a very common parenting thing where she's like, it's bedtime, but he won't fall asleep without her. So she's laying in bed, like just staring at the ceiling for like 2 hours, being like, I could be doing anything else in the world right now, but my fucking kid. But she has purchased a dog kennel and he loves playing dog. And she's like, hey, do you want to play dog? And he's like, yeah. It's like, where do dogs sleep anyway? He's like, in the kennel, right? She's like, you're right. Convinces him to crawl into the fucking kennel so he can close him in and go do her
Wow.
It was kind of great.
That's so amazing.
Yes, highly recommended.
All right.
So yes. Anyway, that's all I got.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
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 So women, keep them happy.
Yep.
And your government will thrive.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't let them take a shit on your yard.
Yeah, I was going to say, they make sure they don't turn into dog people.
Okay, that was our session for today. Homework for next time is to go and watch the movie version of The Postman. At the time of this recording, it doesn't seem to be streaming anywhere for free, but you can rent it from the usual suspects like Amazon and Google Play and whatnot. On first glance, I'm not seeing it on Hoopla or the other library streamers, but you know, it might be a good excuse to visit your local library anyway, see if they have a physical copy you can borrow. Your ongoing extra credit assignment. If you have a bookstore you'd like to send a shout out to on an upcoming episode, hit us up on the socials or email us at contact@rtfbpod.com and let us know about them. I've been to a few bookstores in my day, but I'm only one man. I can't cover them all. Moving to on second thoughts, you know, I want to offer a quick apology about this movie. Like, for sure, it's worth watching. It's just kind of a bummer that it doesn't seem to be free anywhere. And if it was a little better or a little shorter, I wouldn't feel as guilty for making you potentially pay to watch it. So, sorry guys. We'll try harder next time. For now, bon courage. Today's episode was scripted by the ghost of the United States themselves and delivered via divine inspiration to Chris Ham, Chris Other Chris Jacobson. It was edited by me, Travis Rowe, and was sponsored by no one in particular. Until next time, keep fucking reading. Just rub up against it. Yeah. That's the good sounds.
No.
Little ASMR track or whatever.
What's like the anti-ASMR? Like, just things to piss you off or cringe. That's our podcast.
I watched one where someone was just like scraping a steel pan against a microphone. It was pretty great.
Yeah. Back when we did the movie festival, one guy sent in a documentary he made of his neighbor who like was a Foley artist and had a setup where he could make that one like metally sound when something kind of obliquely scary happens. It's like, so it was like 40 minutes of that sound, and it was like, I cannot put this on a screen.
Why not?
This is all very interesting, but I cannot have people listen to. No one wants to hear that.